Welcome to the Henter Joyce Basic Training Tape number 2 for JAWS version 2.3. Side 1, Table of Contents follows. This tape is tone indexed. Section 1, More about the speech pad and numbers lock on or off. Entering numbers with the numeric pad. Root JAWS to PC. Root PC to JAWS. Reading with either cursor. Side 1, Section 2, The Delete Function. The Insert Function. Extended cursor pad keys. Side 1, Section 3, Overview. We assume you are familiar with the reading the screen and the JAWS menus. Review tape number 1 if you feel you're not ready to proceed. More on the voice menu. Different voice sources. Global voice, keyboard voice, screen voice, speech pad voice. The keyboard voice menu. Explanation of the on-off toggle menus. Key repeat. Henter Joyce, address and phone numbers. Basic Training Tape 2, Side 2, Section 1. More about the voice menu. The screen voice menu. Side 2, Section 2. The speech pad voice menu. Side 2, Section 3. JAWS cursor voice menu. Side 2, Section 4. The voice universal menu. Intro to the dictionary menu. Speaking numbers. Speaking punctuation symbols. End of line pauses. Uppercase sensitivity. Filter out repeated characters. Acronyms. Side 2, Section 5. The Config Files menu. The concept of configuration files. Explanation of autoload. Manually loading or saving a configuration file. The suggested config file name. Henter Joyce address and phone numbers.
Welcome to Basic Training Tape number 2 from Henter Joyce. My name's Ted Henter, and this is about JAWS version 2.3. You should listen to tape number 1, Basic Training Tape number 1, before getting to here, unless you're a real whiz-bang computer user and you want to just jump right into it. This will be a little bit more advanced than number 1, but still basic training. Okay, number 1, we end up in the menus. So we're going to leave them for now and go back to the speech pad, learn some more about the speech functions, and then get back into the menus a little bit later, I believe, on this tape. All right, back to be sure you're out of the menus, hit the escape key, and it'll take you out.
PC cursor on.
I turned on my PC cursor. Remember, that's the plus key on the numeric pad.
C colon, backslash, deck, PC, greater.
And I'm at my DOS prompt. We're still in DOS, but I did that type command, and I have Constitution up there on the screen. We did that on tape number 1. But if you forgot or you had to turn off your computer or whatever, when you're at the DOS prompt, type in the word type.
T-Y-P-E.
In a space.
Space.
And then constit.
C-O-N-S-T-I-T.
And a period.
Period. T-X-T.
T-X-T. And hit enter.
Enter. Constitution of the United States. We the people of the United States, comma, in order to form a more perfect union, comma.
So I hit my Alt key and silenced it. Because we've heard it all before. Now if I do a say line.
C colon, backslash, deck, PC, greater.
My PC cursor is at the DOS prompt, but.
JAWS cursor on.
Turn on my JAWS cursor, hit page up.
Page up.
And do a say line.
Constitution of the United States.
Okay, now remember, the JAWS cursor is the minus key on the numeric pad. That's usually in the top right corner. The PC cursor is the plus key, usually below the JAWS cursor key or the minus key. The PC cursor key is also usually to the right of the right arrow. Alright, the say line, or the page up, is the 9 on the numeric pad. Remember, the numeric pad is like a telephone. No, wait, excuse me. It's like a calculator, not like a telephone. So the 789 is the top row of numbers. Below that's the 456, and below that is the 123. So the 9 is the top right corner of the numbers on your numeric pad. And it's usually one key from the far right. How do you say that? One key to the left of the right-hand edge of the numeric pad, and one row down from the very top row of the numeric pad would be the 9 or the page up.
Page up.
You hit that, it takes your JAWS cursor up to line 1. Say line.
Constitution of the United States.
Insert up arrow. Remember, the insert key is in the bottom left corner of your numeric pad, and the up arrow is just above the 5. That's the 8, or up arrow. The numeric pad doubles as a cursor pad. And that's why sometimes I say arrow keys, page up, page down, things like that, and sometimes I refer to it as numbers. It really has two uses depending on the setting of numlock, N-U-M-L-O-C-K, or numbers lock. If numlock is on, then you have numbers. You hit a 5 and it does a 5. Hit the 6 or the right arrow and it does a 6. But if you have numlock off, then your numeric pad becomes a cursor pad. And then the 6 is a right arrow, the 4 is a left arrow, the 8 is an up arrow, the 2 is the down arrow, etc. Now when JAWS is loaded, JAWS changes that cursor pad into a speech pad. Because you still have the features of the cursor pad, like the arrow keys, the home end, page up, page down, but they move and talk. And you still have the numbers pad features, because when numlock is on, then you get numbers. Okay, I'll turn numlock on.
Print screen. Scroll lock on. Scroll lock off. Numlock on.
There. Took me a while to find it. Usually numlock is in the top row left corner of your numeric pad. So now if I hit a 1.
2, 3.
I hit the 2.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1.
And there's the 1. So now I'm getting numbers. And if I turn numlock off.
Numlock off. End.
1 is an end.
Blank.
That's a down arrow. That's the 2.
Page down.
Page down is the 3. So you get the idea. Even with JAWS loaded, you can still get those numbers. Also, come to think of it, if you just hold down the shift key and hit your number pad.
1. C colon backslash deck PC greater 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Now I have a few extra keys defined here. That's why.
C colon backslash deck PC.
That's why the shift key is not working the way I thought it was going to. With the basic JAWS speech pad layout, the shift key will give you numbers. Now, we have added a few features there to handle sentences and paragraphs and things like that, so there may be some conflict. You might have to decide just which feature you want. Usually, if you're not doing a bunch of calculations, then you can use the numbers on the numbers row. You don't need the numbers on the numeric pad. You can use them for other features, such as read sentence, read paragraph, prior sentence, next sentence, things like that. And it's really a decision that all us computer users need to make, is how best to use the keys that are readily accessible. Okay, so that's a little bit more information about the numeric pad. When JAWS loads up, it does turn the numeric pad to a speech pad, and it turns numlock off. Now there's a few extra keys here that we did not cover, such as route JAWS to PC.
Route JAWS to PC.
And route PC to JAWS.
Route PC to JAWS.
Now those are two very important keys, and I didn't cover them initially because I wanted to give you a chance to get the concept of the cursor. Remember, the cursor is this flashing underline that's up there on the screen. It flashes on and off. And it kind of shows the sighted computer user where the computer is looking. So if you delete a key, it's going to delete, you know, that. If you hit the delete key, it'll delete the character where the cursor is. When you have two cursors, like with JAWS, the JAWS cursor tries to simulate the user's eyes moving around on the screen. Now the user, a sighted user, will sometimes want to look just at where the cursor is. So the flashing underline will attract that person's eyes to it, and they can look right there and see what's going on, where the computer is pointing. Well, something analogous to that is route JAWS to PC.
Route JAWS to PC.
That will route the JAWS cursor to the PC cursor. Remember, the PC cursor is the computer's cursor, or the application cursor. application is a good phrase to use, because that's the program that has control of the computer, typically. An application is like WordPerfect or Lotus 1-2-3, or in this case it's DOS, the disk operating system. So the application has control of the cursor, and sometimes we want to move there, so we just do a route JAWS to PC, and that moves the JAWS cursor to the PC cursor. Now, the JAWS cursor is what we use for reading around with, but we don't need to read just with the JAWS cursor. We can also read with the PC cursor. Unfortunately, in DOS, the PC cursor doesn't move, so it doesn't do us a lot of good. But when you get to an application program like WordPerfect, you can read around almost everywhere with the PC cursor. There are still some places it cannot go. So whenever you want to kind of look at where the PC cursor is, and maybe look above it and below it and left and the right, you can route JAWS to PC and then move around from right there. It kind of locates you at the right spot. So now, when you do a route JAWS to PC also, it turns the JAWS cursor on. Remember, we have two cursors, JAWS cursor and PC cursor, and only one of them can be on at a time. And whenever you turn one on, it automatically turns the other one off. That's an important concept. And they move around independent of each other. JAWS cursor goes where you want it to go, and the PC cursor goes where you ask the application to move it. They're independent. When you move one, it does not move the other. And so far we've only showed you one set of keys to move the cursor. Well, that's all you need, is one set of keys, even though you got two cursors, because those keys, the arrow keys on the speech pad, move whatever cursor happens to be turned on. So when the JAWS cursor is on, the up arrow moves the JAWS cursor. When the PC cursor is on, the up arrow tries to move the PC cursor. Remember, because we're in DOS, it does not move up or down, so it's not going to move it. But in WordPerfect, it probably would, depending on, where the cursor was and where you wanted to move it to, and what WordPerfect was doing at that point in time. But let's try not to get too bogged down in those kind of details. I always try to be careful when I say this is going to happen and that's going to happen, because with a computer, it just isn't that way all the time. 99% of the time, maybe. All right, route JAWS to PC moves the JAWS cursor to the PC cursor. It lines them up. It puts one right on top of the other, so to speak. Now, these are sort of imaginary things. There's nothing you can grab or touch. Sometimes you can't even see it if you could see the screen. And so you just have to kind of visualize these two pointers that are on the screen. And you're moving around, you're reading around with one of the pointers, and the other one is staying where it is, where it was. So whichever one is turned on, that's the one that you are moving with the arrow keys and the home and the end and the page up and page down, things like that. It's the one that's turned on. And when you turn one on,
PC cursor on,
it automatically turns the other one off.
JAWS cursor on.
Okay, so how do you do a route JAWS to PC? Well, remember the JAWS cursor key is the minus on the numeric pad, so it's pretty logical to use an insert minus to do the route JAWS to PC. So if you hold down the insert key, which is the bottom left corner of the numeric pad, and hit the minus key,
root JAWS to PC,
you get root JAWS to PC or route JAWS to PC. See, even though we're using a deck talk here, it kind of pronounces that root incorrectly. Well, root and route are spelled the same. One is a noun, one's a verb, I think. And it's just difficult for the computer to tell based on the context which it should say. Kind of like read and read. R-E-A-D, they're spelled the same, but they're pronounced differently. So try not to let these little things bother you. So a route JAWS to PC is an insert minus on the numeric pad. Well, what do you think a route PC to JAWS is? Well, that's an insert plus, because the plus key is the PC cursor key.
Route PC to JAWS.
Route PC to JAWS. So insert JAWS cursor routes JAWS to PC. Insert PC cursor routes PC to JAWS. Now, why would you want to route the PC cursor to the JAWS cursor? Well, let's say you're looking around at your screen and you find a word that's misspelled and you want to change it. You've got your JAWS cursor on it and you go to delete a character. Well, what it's going to do, since the computer doesn't know, well, let me rephrase it, the application program doesn't know that you even have a JAWS cursor. The application program doesn't know where you're looking. All it knows is where it's looking or pointing to. So whenever you press delete, it's going to delete the character where the PC cursor is. Even though you're using your JAWS cursor and you're looking up somewhere else, when you hit that delete key, it's going to delete where the PC cursor is because it does not know that you've got a JAWS cursor. It's just like a person that can see the screen. When they're looking at a letter, they can't just look at it and press the delete key and expect it to delete that letter. No. The computer doesn't know which one they're looking at. And the computer's going to delete whichever one it is pointing to. So you always have to be sure that when you start editing your text, you've got to be reading with your PC cursor, or at least looking at the same data that the computer is looking at. So let's say you're reading around with your JAWS cursor, you find a word that's misspelled and you want to change it. So the first thing you would do then is do a route PC to JAWS.
Route PC to JAWS.
And that will, in many cases, move the PC cursor right up to exactly where the JAWS cursor is, and then you can delete it. I say in many cases, let's say in most word processors it'll do that. But here we are in DOS, it won't do that. DOS just is not designed to edit stuff, unless you know run one of their editors or whatever. So that's the route JAWS to PC and route PC to JAWS. Now this is section 2. In section 1 I mentioned delete. Deleting a character, which is a very common thing to do. You can delete characters, words, lines, blocks, a lot of things you can delete. And on the keyboard there's a delete key, and usually that deletes the character. Not always, usually it deletes the character. And the delete key is that position key on the bottom of the numeric pad.
Row 25, column 20, PC.
Well, when I press that, it doesn't say delete, it says the position of the cursor. Same with that insert key. The insert key is in the bottom left corner of the numeric pad, usually to the left of the delete. When I press that, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't say anything, and it doesn't do an insert either. So if I want those functions, how do I get them? Well, on the left side of your keyboard, on the bottom, there's a key called the Alt key. And it's usually just to the left of the spacebar.
Help mode on. Help mode off.
I'm just checking my help mode. If you hold down the Alt key, just to the left of the spacebar, and hit the position key, or the delete key.
Space.
This time it said space, because it's actually doing a delete, or trying to do a delete, and then reading the character that appears there. So to get the original function of that key, you just hold down the Alt key and hit that key, the delete key.
Space.
Same with insert. An Alt insert.
Insert.
Does an insert. Now these things, insert and delete, they're just, from the keyboard, we're just telling the application, okay, this is what I want to do, and it's up to the application to actually do it. In the case of DOS, it doesn't do anything. It kind of ignores you. But if we were in WordPerfect, or Professional Write, or First Choice, or Microsoft Word, some word processor, then it would do something based on, you know, in response to that request from the keyboard. What I'm trying to point out here in a roundabout way is that to get the insert or delete functions, just hold down the Alt key.
Insert.
And press the key.
Space.
Now, the insert key says insert, the delete key says space. What the delete key is trying to do is delete the character that it's sitting on, and then read the next character that kind of fills in that space. See, when you delete a character, it completely disappears from the screen in most cases. It's not replaced by a blank, by a space. It's not like a whiteout on a typewriter. It just completely gets removed, and something has to fill in that spot. Well, what fills it in is the character that was to the right of the one you deleted moves over to the left and fills in that spot. And then that character is filled in by the one to the right of it, and that character filled in by the one to the right of it, etc., etc. So what happens is the whole line of characters to the right of the one you deleted moves over to the left and fills in that spot. So anytime you want to use those original functions, the insert and delete, just hold down the Alt key and hit insert or delete. Now along the same subject, we have the plus and the minus on the numeric pad. Those are different from the plus and the minus on the numbers row. But we're using them, JAWS uses them for the JAWS cursor and the PC cursor. Actually, the plus is the PC cursor, the minus is the JAWS cursor. So if we want the original function of that key, we just hold down the Alt key. And hit Alt minus, we'll get the minus, and Alt plus, we'll get the plus. And those are called key conflicts. What we've resolved here is a key conflict. JAWS has conflicted with the key's original function, and we have used that key for something more important for a blind user. But still, we want to be able to get back to the original function of that key. So we provide a pretty simple and easy way to do it. Just hold down the Alt key, which is the left of the space bar, and then press the key you wanted, the minus or the plus or the insert or the delete, and it will do its original function. Now on the 101 key keyboards, there's another insert and delete key. That's on the 6-pack of keys. That's to the left of the numeric pad. You'll find that there's 6 keys there. There's insert, delete, home, end, and page up, and page down. Now usually, the insert and delete on that keypad will perform the function you expect, insert or delete. And the home, end, page up, page down will perform whatever the application wants it to do. Those keys typically will pass through. JAWS will ignore them, and they will perform as they did originally. Not always, because depending on what program you're running and the configurations of JAWS that are loaded, JAWS may be using those keys for something special. So that's key conflicts. Let me put a beep on the tape. And this is section 3, and we're going to get into some of the more, not necessarily advanced features, but I'm going to assume at this point that you've covered tape 1 and you're pretty proficient with the keyboard and the menus and things like that. Not necessarily you know where everything is, but you can read around the screen using the speech pad, and you can operate the menus. And if you're not real sure about that, you should go back and review tape 1, because it'll be very helpful. These are just tools that we have at our disposal to operate the computer. And the more natural and automatic it becomes, then the more efficient you'll be at operating your computer. What I'd like to do now is just start showing you talking about other features of JAWS and showing you where they are and how to activate them. Not without a lot of examples, because we're still in DOS, but I will give examples, you know, when I can. Some of the more advanced features are only, shall we say, useful when you're in an application program and, you know, going through like that. But I will, you know, talk about things and try to explain them. This will be kind of a good overview and general knowledge. We have to kind of broach the subject at some point. I think this is as good a time as any. But like I say, if you're not real familiar with how to get into and out of and around the menus, and if you're not real familiar with the layout of the speech pad, you should practice that. If necessary, go back and review tape 1 and practice reading around the screen with your speech pad. Alright, so now let's go into the menus just for a little change of pace.
JAWS main menu.
To get to, we'll talk about some of the some of the features. In the main menu,
voice.
We have the voice. I'm doing insert 5, that's a say word. Then I'm going to do a right arrow.
Config files.
Let me back up.
Voice.
Voice. I'll do a I'll read the help line with an insert 3.
Adjust all voice parameters.
Adjust all voice parameters. So here, as we saw earlier, you have volume, rate, pitch, and tone, or voices. And you have a global setting, a keyboard setting, a screen setting, and a speech pad setting. Now those are just different voice settings that you can have. Also under voice we have a universal menu, and that's where you adjust things like how many punctuation symbols to say and how to speak numbers and your dictionary, your upper and lower case, things like that. You're in the universal menu. We also have a JAWS voice for the JAWS cursor. And we have an extra menu, which has extra features which are kind of specific to the synthesizer. For example, the DeckTalk has some extra features like pause for commas and pause for periods that are adjustable. Now they're different from what the Accent has. The Accent has intonation and fast processing and single character stress, hard A, pause between words, things like that. Those are features specific to that synthesizer, and they would be found in the extra menu. Let me drop down in here.
Global.
I'm on global. And this is where you adjust the voice for the volume, for the keyboard, the screen, and the speech pad. Well, let's move over.
Keyboard.
If you want to adjust the voice for the keyboard, you select this. I hit a right arrow, and that's keyboard. To the right of that is screen,
speech pad,
and then speech pad. Well, what are these things? Well, there's three basic sources that JAWS traps data coming from, and then speaks it. As you type on the keyboard, JAWS gets it and speaks it. As you read around the screen, your speech pad, JAWS grabs the data and speaks it. And sometimes a computer program will put data up on the screen. That's what they're there for usually. And sometimes JAWS can trap that information when it goes up to the screen. It's kind of like putting information up on a chalkboard or on a piece of braille paper, brailing it. As the data appears there, as it actually being put up there, then JAWS speaks it. So three basic sources: keyboard, screen, and speech pad. So you can adjust the voice independently for each of those three sources.
Speech pad. Keyboard.
Let's go over to keyboard.
Echo.
We have keyboard echo.
Volume.
Volume.
Rate. Pitch. Voices.
Volume, rate, pitch, voices, or tone.
Interruptible.
Key repeat.
Echo.
And back to echo. So this is the keyboard, or you might say the voice keyboard menu. I say it that way because you select voice first and then keyboard, and then this is where you end up. So let me talk about this echo.
Echo.
I'll drop down into it.
Characters, words, off.
Characters, words, and off. I was hitting the right arrow there to look at the choices there. So we can have the keyboard echo in characters, or in words, or off. What that means is if we have it selected as characters, it will say each character as we type it. If we have it set to words, it will say the word as we type it. Well, obviously you don't type in words, you type in characters. So as you type a word and hit the space bar following the word, then it will say the word that you just typed in. Or if you say if you hit a punctuation character or the enter key or whatever, it will say the word that you just typed in. And if you set it to off, then you'll get no keyboard echo at all. It'll be silent. And for you expert typists, that's what a lot of expert typists like.
Echo.
Let me hit an up arrow to move up, and then a right arrow to move over.
Volume.
There's volume. I'll go down into that.
7, 8, 9, 10, 10. 9, 8, 7.
That was a right arrow. Now this is a left arrow.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1.
You can tell how the volume's changing. Even though this is just for the keyboard, we've designed JAWS so that as you adjust the voice, you get a sense of what you're setting it to. It really wouldn't be very useful if you just got to pick a number. You wouldn't have a sense of what that sounds like. So we've designed it so as you do make these changes, or actually we haven't changed it yet. Remember, we're just kind of previewing it. And we've designed JAWS so that you can preview it without selecting it. I can just hit up arrow.
Volume.
And it will abort out, and it didn't make that change. Down arrow.
7.
Takes me right back to where I was at 7. Up arrow.
Volume.
Back up the volume. Okay, to the right of that.
Rate.
Rate, we've talked about that a lot on tape 1.
Pitch.
Over again is pitch. Again, this is just your typical numbers. I'll do a down arrow.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1.
So you get to adjust the pitch the way you like it.
Pitch.
I did an up arrow there, and it went back to what it was set to, because in these range setting menus, you don't have to make a change. You can preview it, and then up arrow will take you out without selecting it. It's important to keep that in mind. When you want to select it, you can use the enter or down arrow, but an up arrow will take you out without selecting it.
Voices.
Now here's voices.
1.
I'll go down into that. Now since we have a DeckTalk here, it has the choice of voices. Most other synthesizers, the choice we have here is tone, because it changes the tone of the voice. Now here, let me see what these sound like.
2, 3, 4,
5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
10.
And back. 10 sounds just like 1. If you're real sophisticated, you can make some changes there and kind of define your own voice for 10.
9.
I'll do an up arrow.
Voices.
And it went back to its normal voice because we didn't change anything. Also because we're just setting the keyboard voice, we're adjusting the keyboard voice. I'll go up, well, before I go up again. What would be the advantage of this? Why would we want to have three different sources? Well, for example, on the keyboard voice, you might want to set that very fast, so you can type fast and hear the characters as you type them or the words as you type them. But that might be too fast when you go back to read it over again. So you'd have the keyboard set fast and the speech pad set slow. Or maybe you have a program that puts prompts up on the screen and prompts you for things. You know, questions, ask you this, you type it in, ask you that, you type it in, ask again, you type it in. Well, after about 10 times of running that program, you'll know what those are, so you can make it go faster and faster and faster, so you just get a hint of what's there. But when you go back to read it over or check the spelling or whatever, you want to do a little bit slower, so you'd have the screen set fast and the speech pad set slow. So you have some options like that of changing the voice for the to better suit the source of the data, where the information is coming from.
Voices.
I'll do a right arrow.
Interruptible.
Interruptible. Now remember, I'm in voice keyboard menu. Go to the menus, you select voice, and then keyboard, and then a couple of right arrows will get you over here to
Interruptible. Toggle interruptible or auto clear speech.
Toggle interruptible or auto clear speech. You may have noticed on the tape that I don't have to wait for the speech. As it's saying something, I can hit another key and it'll interrupt it and go on. That's what this interruptible setting is, because I have it
on.
Set to on. To the right of that
off.
Is off, and to the right of that
toggle.
Is toggle. So I could set interruptible to off, then as I type, I would hear every letter, but I would have to type slow, because I'd have to wait for it. I don't really have to, I can just go ahead and type fast, but the letters I would hear would be maybe 10 keys behind what I've already typed. But if I stop, it'll catch up to me and I can go on. And that's, you know, you might want to operate that way. I find it a bit confusing because as I'm typing the Z of the alphabet, it's just saying the M, and it's very confusing. But there are some times when you might want that. So you can set interruptible to off, and it won't interrupt the speech. Now here's also an interesting menu. We have on, off, and toggle.
Toggle, on, off, toggle.
On, off, toggle, from left to right. The on, of course, turns it on, and the off turns it off. Toggle changes it. If it was on, it'll turn it off, or if it was off, it'll turn it on. And toggle is kind of a common phrase in the computer world.
On.
And you get used to it. It's just a concept of like a switch. Some switches you hit, if they're on, they turn off, or if they're already off, they turn on. Well, that's what toggling is. It just toggles it.
On.
I'm on. If I do a say character, which is the 5 key,
and
it says the N. Remember I told you once before that on the on-off choices, we use the last letter.
And
so it's N for on.
Off. F.
And F for off.
Toggle. T.
And T for toggle. We do that because of the conflict. There would be a conflict if we use the first letter, because on and off both start with the O. So when you hit an O, the computer wouldn't know which one you're talking about. So if I want to turn keyboard interruptible off very quickly, I can
escape, exiting.
Go out of my menus now. I hit escape to get out. So to get back in, I do a control slash.
Jaws main menu.
I can hit V for voice.
V, global.
K for keyboard.
K, echo.
I for interruptible.
I, on.
F for off.
F, off.
Z to exit.
Z, exiting.
Takes me all the way out. So that's the quick way of getting there if you know exactly where you want to go. And remember that Z took me all the way out of the menus. I could have hit the escape to go all the way out, or I could have hit the page up to go all the way out. But my hands happened to be on the home row, and the Z was handy, so I hit the Z.
Jaws main menu.
I'll go back in. V.
V, global.
K for keyboard.
K, echo.
I for interruptible.
I, off.
And I want to change it back to on.
On.
Hit enter.
Enter, on.
And
interruptible. Key repeat.
And now a right arrow, I went up and then a right arrow, and it took me back to, took me over to key repeat. That's something, that's the next choice. Key repeat.
Toggle automatic key repeat.
Toggle automatic key repeat. Well, what is key repeat? Well, the computer, before you load up JAWS, usually will repeat the keys automatically. If you want a row of A's across your screen, just hold down the A key, and it'll say A. It'll put up an A, a slight pause, and then just start putting a whole bunch of A's up there. And sometimes it's, you know, you might want to do that. Usually you don't. Now, a sighted person watching that screen would notice that real quick. Someone using JAWS may not notice it so quick because the synthesizer may not speak it out real quick. You know, may not echo those keys immediately. Synthesizers, you know, take a certain amount of time to say the keys that you're hitting. So you can get several A's up there on the screen before you lift up that key. Another funny thing is when you lift the key up, the computer has already put up maybe 20 A's, but you've only heard it say two of them. But it'll just keep going A, 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 A. So we don't want that. So what we've done with JAWS, to make it more, let's say, predictable, is we've disabled the automatic repeating of those keys so that it doesn't do that automatically as a default.
Key repeat. Off.
I have it turned off. And that's when you load up JAWS, that's the default. JAWS watches for that, and when it sees the computer start to repeat those keys, it just grabs them and throws them away, in effect. So it doesn't repeat keys automatically. But if you're a more advanced user or more familiar with the keyboard, you may want that feature. So then you can just turn it on, and you get that feature back. What we found is, for a beginner, that when you're trying to find keys in the keyboard and not sure about where they are and things like that, many people have a tendency to hold the key down too long, and you get this automatic repeating, and you get stuff on the screen you didn't want. So we've disabled that feature.
Off.
I'm going to do an up arrow.
Key repeat.
And a right arrow.
Echo.
Now I'm back to echo. So those are all the choices in the keyboard menu.
Echo volume rate pitch voices interruptible key repeat.
I just did a say line there to get them all. Now, it seems to me the voice is going faster than it should. I wonder if we're on a 3 or a 4. Let me check that.
Keyboard. Global. Volume. Rate. 4.
Yep, I'm on 4. I'll move it down to 3.
3. Enter.
Just so we're sure we hear it all. Now, how did I do that? Well, I was over on keyboard, remember? Let me move over there.
Global. Keyboard. Echo.
So I'm down on keyboard echo now, so I wanted to go to global. I could have just checked the keyboard rate, but in order to really change it, I want to change it for all of them, so I wanted to go to global. So I went up one level with an up arrow.
Keyboard.
And now I know that global is to the left. If I'm not sure, I can do a say line.
Global keyboard screen speech pad Jaws cursor universal extra.
Like anything, it kind of helps to, you know, get familiar with the menu so you know how to get from here to there. It's just like the rooms in a building. If you know you're in the third floor, room 5, and you want to go to the 6th floor, room 10, you know you got to go up 2 floors and over to the right 5 rooms. And it's just a matter of getting familiar with these menus.
Keyboard.
So my keyboard, so I know I got to go up one level with an up arrow.
Voice.
Oops, excuse me.
Global.
Got ahead of myself. I'm already went up. I'm on keyboard. I know global's to the left, so I hit the left arrow.
Extra. Global.
I already went over to
keyboard.
What happened there was...
Keyboard.
Here I am on keyboard. I went up...
Voice.
...to voice. That's what I didn't want to do that, so I went back down.
Global.
And I ended up on global. That's another thing to keep in mind. Whenever I select voice from the main menu, I'm going to go to global. Even though I was on keyboard, I did not go back to keyboard. Because anytime it enters this particular menu, it goes to the first one on the left. That's global.
Global.
That's just the way we've designed the menus, because
keyboard.
Who knows which one you were on, and who cares?
Screen.
Anytime you leave this menu, you go up.
Voice.
And back down.
Global.
You end up back on global. So that's just something to be aware of. All right, so
keyboard.
Let me get through
echo.
This. Let me get through this example here. On keyboard echo, I go up.
Keyboard.
To the left.
Global.
Down.
Volume.
To the right.
Rate.
Down.
3.
And that's how I adjusted the rate. Okay, now as we go, obviously we're learning more and more about the menus.
Great.
And that's the whole point of this. I did an up arrow.
Global.
Another up arrow.
Keyboard.
To the right, to keyboard.
Screen.
And now I'm over to screen. And we'll pick up that subject on side 2 of tape 2 of the basic training, JAWS basic training tapes. Let me put a beep on the tape here. You can write to us at Henter-Joyce, Inc., Henter-Joyce, at 10901-C, as in Charlie, Roosevelt Boulevard, Roosevelt as in the President, Suite 1200, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33716. Toll-free in the United States is 800-336-5658. The toll phone is 813-576-5658. Fax is 813-577-0099. And our bulletin board is 813-579-0099. You can flip the tape over and join us on side 2. Thanks.